Amen. Amen. And let's start out with 2 Corinthians 5, because everything that I talk to you about, you can't do if you don't realize that you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Because otherwise, it would seem that it's an impossibility. Because if you're not a new creature in Christ Jesus, it is. All right. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, New King James Version. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation or new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So it doesn't matter what you used to do, what your grandmother used to do, your great-great-grandfather. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. You receive Christ, you are a new creature, and everything that used to make you you changed. And we have to understand that. So when we're reading the Bible and we're reading the things that God is asking us and telling us about ourselves, we need to realize I can do this because I'm a new creature. I'm a new creation. The person I was before, it was impossible for them to do any of this. But now because I'm in Christ, all things are possible because I believe. On Sunday, I share with you, faith does not take you to a place and then drop you like a hot potato. It doesn't do that. Faith is designed to take you all the way through to completion. And faith does not care what shows up. Doesn't. So since the Bible has already told us that we're righteous, so we're supposed to walk by faith, live by faith, and faith doesn't care what shows up, then guess what? We shouldn't care what shows up either. All that matters is that this is what Father has told me to do. When I played basketball, I didn't care who the other team was. They showed up and walked on the court. I showed up and walked on the court. Period. I didn't care about their record, their reputation. All I knew is that they were standing in my way of another victory. That's all I meant. They had on the wrong color uniform. That's all that mattered. And that all that matters, the devil has on the wrong uniform. He's not one of us. So whatever he comes with should not matter if we are in faith. Because faith says all things are possible. Faith says I am more than a conqueror in Christ. That's what faith says. Faith says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Period. Faith lets me know that the name of Jesus is above any name, every name that's named. Every name. So that means there should not be anything that's not subject to the name of Jesus. Anything. If we are in faith. Period. And I shared with you that the environment has to be right. We know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that means our environment needs to be one of hearing, and hearing by the way of God, by the word of God. Because if we're hearing any other word, faith is still going to come, but it won't be faith in God's word. See, there are too many believers. Let's just, you know, put the world on the world on the side for a moment. There are too many believers who are stuck because they're listening to financial experts, to medical experts, to environmental experts, and that's what they keep hearing. They keep hearing it and hearing it and hearing it and hearing it, and they believe it. And I could tell you that from personal experience. I've said it many times. I knew all there was to know about hypertension. I knew its history, its reputation, you know, its prognosis. I knew all of it, and I believed it. I believed it. And I'm running around, and yes, there's some dietary things that just make sense, but everything, before I put it in my mouth, I got to look at it. What's the salt content of this? Oh, no, that's too much salt. I eat something. I say, you put salt in this. I can't forget. My faith was in the knowledge of these experts concerning hypertension and not what God said. And my body was responding to my faith. So every time I was scheduled to minister, I'd wind up in the emergency room with elevated blood pressure. I expected it to happen. And it happened. I expected. I want a Nathan's hot dog. We're driving along on the turnpike. Phil says, honey, you know what I feel like? And I was like, what? You know, well, actually, truth be told, she said, no, what do I feel like? And I said, feel good. I know you can't see that on a CD. I would squeeze her arm and say, you feel good. But she said, I feel like a Nathan's. So we were going to get off at exit 11 on the thruway. We went past exit 11 to the next rest stop where they had a Nathan's. And so that she could get a hot dog. Because Nathan hot, I don't understand how they eat 68 of these hot dogs from one hot dog and bun is almost 900 milligrams of salt, and they eat 68. Okay. But we got hot dogs. And I can't eat a hot dog from Nathan's unless there's chili on it. And I would say, also we had fries. You got to have fries when you go to Nathan's get a hot dog. But I would say, boy, this is going to send my blood pressure through the roof. And within an hour, I take a reading, and I see like 186 over 105, you know, and I'm like, yep. I knew it. I shouldn't have eaten that hot dog. Now, I've given hot dogs permission to send my blood pressure up. You know. So we have to understand faith comes by hearing. We think if what we're hearing is not the word of God, no faith is going to come. Yes, it is. But it's not going to be faith in God. It'll be faith in something else. I told you it's about understanding that we have this connection. Faith gives us this connection with God and with his power. Just like there's electricity that was brought into this building, and we needed electricity in this room, so it was brought to this room. But just because it was brought to the room, it was of no value to the room unless it was connected. So we had to put in connection points. So now you can plug things in and they benefit from the electricity. Now, you don't see the electricity. You see the results of being connected to the electricity. You hear the results. If we turned off power to this room or pulled the plug from the sound equipment, you wouldn't hear my voice being amplified. Even though electricity is in the room, there'd be no evidence because nobody connected with it. So even though it exists, there's no evidence that it exists, so it's like it doesn't exist because there's no connection. So we have to understand that Jesus is the author of our faith. But he can't be the finisher if we don't connect with it so that then go to a work that needs to be finished and allow faith to do what faith is designed to do. Do you understand? We have to keep the connection going. And in that same vein, when we have heard the word, we have to not only put that word to use, but we have to keep hearing the word. Whether someone else is saying it or you are saying it, I like me saying it because I may be in a position where I need to hear the word and you're not there. When I was training to play basketball, I would take the bus from Beach 41st Street to around Beach 160th Street, wherever Reese Beach is in the Rockaways, wherever that street is. And I'd go there I'd take the bus with just money to get on the bus to go one way. And then I'd run back home in the sand next to the boardwalk. Not next to the water, you know, where it's not thick. Next to the boardwalk, where you step in the sand and it tries to pull your legs back down in there. From Beach 160-something Street back to Beach 41st Street. Then I'd get to the 12th floor. I'd get home. I lived on the 12th floor. I didn't take the elevator. I ran up the steps to the 12th floor and took the elevator back down and ran back up and took the elevator down and ran back. And there's nobody there to tell me, yes, you can do this. No, it's me. I had to see myself strong at the end of games. Had to see myself blocking shots at the end of game. I'm seeing myself. There was no one there to tell me that. I had to see myself doing these things, and I kept going because I'm building myself up. That's why the Bible says, build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Doesn't say you stand and someone that wants, you know, your prayer warrior comes and they start walking around you praying in the Holy Ghost. No, you build yourself up. You pray in the Holy Ghost, and you'll get the strength that you need to complete everything that God wants you to do, because faith will come. But you have to do the work. Because James 2, let's go there. I'm going to share a little bit from the Voice translation. And we'll get to the prodigal. Beginning at verse 14 in James 2, this is the Voice translation. It says, brothers and sisters, it doesn't make any sense to say you have faith and act in a way that denies that faith. We have to think about that. So it doesn't make sense to say I have faith and then not act like it. Mere talk never gets you very far. And a commitment to Jesus only in words will not save you. And we shared what it says. You know, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe. So you have to confess and believe. You have to say something and you have to do something. The mere talk never gets you very far. And a commitment to Jesus only in words will not save you. It would be like seeing a brother or sister without any clothes, out in the cold and begging for food and saying, shalom, friend, you should get inside where it's warm and eat something, like he's out there by choice. But doing nothing about the needs, leaving him cold and alone on the street, what good would your words alone do? It's the same is true with faith. Without actions, faith is useless. By itself, it's as good as dead. Now, I know what you're thinking. Okay, you have faith and I have actions. Now, let's see your faith without works, and I'll show you a faith that works. Don't you realize that faith without works is useless, like a glove without a hand or a hat without a head? Don't you think that just believing there's one God is going to get you anywhere? I'm sorry, do you think that just believing there's one God is going to get you anywhere? The demons believe that too, and it terrifies them. The fact is, faith has to show itself through works performed in faith. If you don't recognize that, then you're an empty soul. See, a lot of people will recognize an anointing. You know, they'll recognize and say, oh, that person's anointed. Until that anointed one says something you don't like. Then all of a sudden they're not anointed anymore. Okay. because they said something that struck a chord that let you know, because you heard what they said, now there's something you're going to have to do. Now they're not anointed anymore, because now I have to work. And the reason I get upset about it is because what they said forces me out of my comfort zone. And we talked a little bit about, we talked a lot about our comfort zone. But the comfort zone, it's a psychological state. See, it's not a physical state. It's a psychological state in which things feel familiar to a person and they are at ease and perceive they are in control of their environment. See, so we're comfortable when we feel like we're in control. This has to do what I want. And I'm comfortable with that. I'm comfortable with that. So the first time something comes that you can't control, well, now I'm not comfortable. And we try and get spiritual with it. God knows I don't like that. I haven't read one place where God said, "Do you like this?" Another person describes comfort zone as a place where our uncertainty, scarcity, and vulnerability are minimized, where we believe we'll have access to enough love, food, talent, time, and admiration. Like I said, it's a place where we feel we have control. One of the problems, one of the dangers of focusing on your comfort zone is the next step from the comfort zone is selfishness. And you'll move right over into selfishness, being righteously indignant, because you're comfortable with that. I'm in control. I decide what I want to do. And really, when you think about it, I didn't think about it until this moment, it also leads you into idolatry, because you're exalting you and what you want. So we don't want any of that. Now let's go to Luke, because see, faith is designed for us to be comfortable no matter where we are or what we're doing or what comes. Now just think about it. Since I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, since God will not allow me to be tempted above that which I am able, what could come along? Since I'm more than a conqueror, since no weapon formed against me shall prosper, what is it that can come along and make me uncomfortable? If that's my focus, if that's my environment, my faith can flourish in that kind of environment. And so can yours and anybody else who would believe and allow themselves to be in that type of environment. And the great news is you create that. Nobody can create that environment for you. You create it anytime you want it. Just by listening to what do not let this word of the Lord pass depart from your mouth. Meditate on it. One translation says recite it day and night, observing to do what it says. And it doesn't say then God will make you prosperous. It says you shall make your way prosperous. Why? Because you will be operating in faith. But in Luke 15, like I said, we typically don't look at this passage in relationship to faith. But when God told me to read this scripture, this passage, and I read it in several translations. I didn't read them in every translation like I do most of the time. I read it in a few. And I started saying, wow, I never looked at this from a perspective of faith. But in verse 11, the father had two sons. Jesus said to his disciples, there once was a man who had two sons. The younger said to his father, "Father, I want right now what's coming to me." Now, what would you do if your child came up to you and said to you, I wish you were dead. Because that's what that man was saying to his father. Because in the Middle East, in their culture, when you go and you demand your inheritance, you're telling your father you wanted him to be dead right now. And it was considered an insult, a dishonor, demeaning, disgraceful. And that's what he went to his father and said. That I wish you were dead. Most of us would say, you got the wish right, but it's the wrong person. Okay? And we would start to feel some kind of way, as they say in Christian circles, about the son. And so I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but some might even show them the door. And then use their foot to help them get through it. Okay. But I'm not going to ask who would do that. See, but how you handle that situation will be determined by whether or not your faith is at work. See, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, as I told you. So to create a faith environment, you have to be constantly hearing the word. So thinking about that principle, you know, not letting the word depart from you, but meditating on it. The Bible doesn't talk about it. You know, this is all open for speculation. And you can read commentaries, and boy, they can really speculate in those. But as I was thinking about it, and as I read the whole, because even when I see something, I still go and read the whole thing first to get it. And as I was doing that, and I said, this father was probably remembering Proverbs 22. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. So that means there's probably going to be some action that looks like they're going to depart. But the word says, they shall not depart from it. So if he's believing the word that he was thinking and saying, and he's not moved by what his son does. If we believe the fruit of our womb is blessed, my seed is blessed since I don't have a womb, you know. If we believe that, then we're not going to be moved by how our children act. Because we're our own great example. Someone spoke the word concerning us. We didn't always act like it either. But look at what we've become. So the father was not moved. So the father, instead of showing him the door, the father divided the property between them. Then it says, and I never noticed it before, it wasn't long before the younger son packed his bags and left for a distant country. So that means the father gave him all that. He was his, and he stayed in his father's house for a while. Most parents would say, you got your money? Get out. Okay. And it says he left for a distant country. It doesn't say the father tried to stop him. There, undisciplined and dissipated, he wasted everything he had. After he had gone through all the money, there was a bad famine all throughout that country, and he began to hurt. He signed on with the citizen there who assigned him to his field to slop the pigs. Now, this was a Jewish family. And here's this Jewish boy working with swine. This Jewish boy who was trained in the way he should go, working with swine. But that didn't do anything for him. But it says he was so hungry, he would have eaten the corn cobs in the pig slop, but no one would give him any. So he said, I would eat that if they gave it to me. So he said, I'll take my father's money, but I'm not going to take what belongs to the pigs. Okay. That brought him to his senses. That's one of the reasons why we have to allow our children to go through stuff, so that it brings them to their senses. We keep trying. If we could have done it, we wouldn't be going through what we're going through with them. But I had to do it with my sons. That's God. Whatever you have to allow, allow. You don't need my permission, but you got it. Strengthen my heart, because I have to watch them go through it. And my son, Dad, you have $200? Yep. Can you loan it to me? Nope. He said, no. I said, God told me no. He told me this is between you and him. Now, we could have just given them $200. We could have given them a car to drive that worked, you know, because his was always breaking down. It was only good for him to sleep in at night. We could have put him up in a hotel if we wanted to. We could have let him stay with us. We had more than enough room. God said, no. So I said, no. And I didn't cry till he left. You know, because it was like I could have helped him. And I was hearing, but you are his father, but you are not the father. And he knows you. He has to come to know me. He was so hungry he would have eaten the corn cobs and the pig slop, but no one would give him any, and that brought him to his senses. And he said, all those farmhands working for my father sit down to 3 meals a day, and here I am starving to death. I'm going back. Listen to what he's saying. I'm going back to my father. He didn't say I'm going back to that man. Even though he knows what he knew what he did, he knew the type of person his father was. And was his faith was in his belief that his father would always be his father. Even though he didn't think he deserved to be called a son, he knew he would always have a father. He said, I'm going back to my father's house. And I'm going to say to him, I've sinned against God and I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son. Take me on as a hired hand. And then he got up and he started going home. He got up to go to his father. His faith said, go, you'll be accepted into your father's household. Actually, his faith said you'll be accepted back into the family, but he couldn't see that, because he wouldn't have done that. He couldn't see after what he did. And knowing, see, we think we know someone's motives. He knew his motives. And he knew after what he did and what he said and the way he said it, if it were him, he wouldn't have accepted the son back. But he said, my father, I'll go to my father. And at least he might not accept me back as a son, but he'll let me come in as a worker. He said, because I don't deserve to be, what I did, I don't deserve to be a son. I don't deserve it. What we did, we don't deserve to be sons and daughters. But because Christ died, we can, if we want to. The opportunity is there. He had faith that he would be accepted into the household. He didn't know that his father's faith was that he was going to be reunited with the family. When he was still a long way off, verse 20, his father saw him. I'm like, okay. How do you see someone from a long way off unless you're looking for them? Father he let his son leave, but he never let him go. You understand the difference? He never let him go. He's like, he's coming back. I'm going to keep my eye out for him. And every day he's looking for his son. Why? Faith says your son is coming back. So his actions was based on his son was coming back. If you think someone is coming, what do? You look for him. You expect him to come. You expect him. Oops, I lost my place. It's still not finished. It doesn't say, concerning the father, it doesn't say that the father was agonizing every day that his son was gone. Doesn't say that his father beat himself up. What could I have done? Where did I go wrong? It doesn't say the father was like, I'll never see him again, not alive. And every time someone comes up, your heart stops because you think they're going to tell you your son is dead. He already considered that his son was dead, but he also knew his son was going to be resurrected. Because when you act out, my youngest son did something once, he acted out. And when he saw how I was going to handle it, he was like, no, I want to be your son again. I said, I was going to treat you like my son was dead, like I didn't have a younger son anymore. Because that's what you wanted. That's not what I wanted. You know. But every day he kept looking. He knew how he trained his son. He continued to conduct business as usual. Because he knew one day he was going to look up and his son was going to be there. And when he saw him, his heart pounding, he ran out, embraced him, and kissed him. And the son started his speech. Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to ever be called your son again. But the father wasn't listening because he was calling his servants. Quick, bring a clean set of clothes and dress him. Put the family ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. I read that part and studied that part out, and I said, whoa. You know what just happened there? You know what it means when you put the family ring on your finger? It meant that he had the authority to transact business in his father's name. You think about the father. Just think about this. The father didn't say, okay, let me watch him for a while and see if he's got his act together. And then we'll have a ceremony, you know, maybe in, you know, 3 to 5 years. And we'll put the ring on his finger then. He hadn't even gotten back to the house yet. Hadn't been bathed, cleaned up. No, put the ring on his finger. Why? Because he was always his son. His faith never let him be anything. The father's faith never let the son be anything other than his son, regardless of what he did. So he gave his son the legal right of control over all of his wealth at that moment. At that moment, he believed that his son was back for good and that his son would act the way he was supposed to act from that moment on. He didn't have to have a discussion with his son. He didn't wait. He didn't have to hear from God. He already heard from God. I don't know how many times I've heard persons tell me of a situation, a circumstance they encountered, or usually it's a person they encountered. And before I could ask questions, they said, no, the Holy Ghost didn't lead me to witness to them. And when I was young in the Lord, I used to believe that. As I got older and started reading the scriptures, I don't believe that anymore. You know why? There's a passage in the scripture that we call the Great Commission. And in the Great Commission, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, says, go into all the world and wait and see if I'm going to tell you to preach the gospel. That's not the way it reads. So it says, go into all the world, and you're going to encounter some folks that I'm going to want you to minister to. It doesn't say that either, does it? What does it say? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. To every creature. It says, and these signs shall follow. It says, it doesn't say some of them will cast out devils. And some will speak in new tongues. And you know, there are even going to be a few who will lay hands on the sick. And the sick will recover. Some will pick up snakes. And a few might drink something deadly and it won't harm them. He didn't say that. These signs will follow them, all of them, every single person who believes. So every single believer should be preaching the gospel to every creature with the appropriate signs following. Period. Well, that's not the way folks are operating because they don't believe that they can. And they're using, see, like I told you, you can't use faith to get around doing what God told us to do. It doesn't work that way. If he told us go into all the world, the faith is there for us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If he said go into all the exotic places of the world and spend a week in each place on the beach, most people would go. God said go. Hey, I'm going. But he said go. So why do we have to? To me, that was like Pastors Clinton and Sarah asking me to do something. I recognized that they're pastors after God's heart. So God's heart is telling me this is what they need me to do. And I say to them, well, let me go and pray about it. So I'm going to pray to God's heart if I should listen to God's heart. That never made any sense to me. And I said so to the pastor. Why do I have to pray about it? I said, did you pray about it? And they said, yes, we believe that God told us you. I said, you're the shepherd, I'm the sheep. So I'm the sheep. God, should I listen to the shepherd or not? Because this takes me out of my comfort zone. If we're walking by faith and not by sight, we'll do what we're asked to do by those who we believe are anointed by God to be our shepherds. So what if they're wrong? What if they're not? But what if they're wrong? Well, if they miss God and you're disobedient, guess what? You'll pay a price. Think about it. God told me this the morning I was ordained. He had me read the account when all the priestly garments were stripped from Joshua. Not Joshua, Aaron. Thank you. And I'm wondering, why are you having me read this? And he said to me, and I shared it with Pastor Ed, if Pastor Sarah was missing God, and I know it, and I don't say anything, he doesn't need me. Aaron was the high priest. Moses was the leader. Moses was given instructions, The high priest was aware of those instructions from God. And when Moses didn't follow them, the high priest's job is to say, Master, God has said, speak to the rock, not strike the rock. Aaron didn't say anything. And God had him brought in front of all the children, stripped the garments off, put them on his children, and Aaron died. And God was showing me, if I don't do, then that comes on the heels of him giving me, say what I tell you to say, don't pull any punches or I'll pull you from the lineup. And I guess he wanted to make sure I understood what pulled from the lineup meant. But at that moment, I knew part of my responsibility was, if something's not right, say it's not right, and it doesn't matter who it is. This is what God said. This isn't. You know, just if you believe that it's God, you'll do what he says. If I thought about whether or not I was comfortable doing things, I would not be standing here. Because my history as a believer would have been one of no's. I don't like this. I mean, the one time I remember just out and out saying no was when the first time God told me to join youth fellowship. And I was like, you got to be kidding. No. I said out loud, I'm not doing that. And he knew, he kept me as a son, and he knew eventually I was going to get it. Because when things stopped working and I started complaining, he just so nice said to me, I want you to join the youth fellowship. That was his answer to my ranting. Okay. But the father put, when I read that and read what that ring was and what that ring did, father said, you know, get a grain-fed heifer. The first time I read that, I panicked because growing up with my mom and my aunt, they would call other women heifers. Some of them still do. Is that who, that heifer? I'm like, get a grain-fed heifer. Are they accountable? You know. Said, we're going to feast. We're going to have a wonderful time. My son is here, given up for dead and now alive, given up for lost and now found. See, he understood that removing action from faith is like removing breath from a body. All you have left is a corpse. If that father had not demonstrated faith that his son would return, his son would have been a corpse. If the son didn't have faith that his father would receive him back, the son would have been a corpse. Both of them had to operate in faith for him to be alive and restored. When faith is present, there will be works in progress. If faith isn't present, there are no works happening. No works at all. And then eventually, faith will die. As I shared on Sunday, the Bible is filled with verses that let us know that our faith in God's word allows us to be in a state of complete comfort regardless of any circumstances that comes. But there's some things we're going to have to learn if we're going to have an environment of faith. We're going to have to understand and start acting on environmental control. And that means we have to give hearing the word of God our complete attention. We're going to have to adopt an attitude that we are teachable and that we are humble. See, the son had to humble himself. Say, I'm going to go back to my father's house, but not as the son in all that regalia. I'm going to go as a servant. We're going to have to lay aside, we're going to have to lay aside personal attitudes and prejudices. We have to lay them aside. That's caused so much division in the church the last few years, just from the political scene. Folks aren't laying those things aside. They're embracing worldly stuff in the name of Jesus. And those things override your faith. We're going to have to reject conflicting information. Jesus told us you cannot serve two masters. So if you know truth, why are you listening to a lie? I don't have any problem saying, well, stop right there. Stop right there. You've already stepped over the line. I don't need to hear anymore. And if they don't like it, then that's on them. But I decide what goes in these ears. I decide what goes through these eyes. And I decide what comes out of my mouth. Me and me alone. We have to meditate in the Word and make the Word the source and center of our life. Because that's where we get continual revelation. That's where we get a greater understanding of what our faith can accomplish. The Word says it doesn't make any sense to say you have faith and act in a way that designs faith. I'm going to share this. First, I thought we were going to start with this, and this was going to be the meat of the lesson. Then I just left it alone and said, well, God, I see this. And then at the end, he says, no, say this at the end. How many of you know breathing is necessary for life? Is there anybody here that can live without breathing? How much effort does a normal, healthy person have to put into breathing? How much thought each day, how much thought do we put into, I got to breathe today? No, breathe, breathe. That's what you'd be doing. Breathe, breathe. What would you get done? You know, is there anybody that's ashamed of their breathing? Because that's what gives you life. Life. And the body has put things in motion so that you breathe automatically. And you, on your own, with no assistance, cannot hold your breath and die. Your body will not allow you to hold your breath. That's why people, even when if they put a bag on their heads, it gets to the point where they'll start ripping the bag off their head. So what they do, they take a pill, they put a bag on their head and take a sleeping pill. So unless you do something unnaturally, your body, and you know, you have a healthy body, it's going to breathe. Well, in the same way, I want you to consider this. Romans 1:17 says, the just shall live by faith. So to the believer, faith is like breathing. It's necessary for life. And God had put things in place so that we can walk by faith naturally and normally without any extra effort. And we should not be ashamed of who causes us to walk by faith, nor should we be ashamed of what he has said. That's why the song says we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because we know Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, so that walking in faith and not by sight should be like breathing. It just happens because it's who we are. Our species as mammals, we breathe, period. Our species as new creatures in Christ, we walk by faith, period. Period. And just like there, you know, sometimes, you know, if we're running, everything that makes us breathe is working at a different level. You know, when we have some tough jobs, our thinking and our understanding needs to increase and get to a different level so that we keep faithing. New word. Just like we keep breathing, we keep walking in faith, walking by faith, because we're the just. We keep telling ourselves that. And we need to understand, it's just simple. For the father of the prodigal son, this wasn't a hard thing. It was simple. He believed it. He saw it. And he didn't care what anyone else, if you read that out, his oldest son had a problem with it. It didn't move the father at all. That lets us know that Don't allow your faith to be moved just because somebody else doesn't understand it. Do you understand it? We have to make sure that we're accurate, that we're using our, we're walking in faith to accomplish what God said, not what we want. Unless it's like Jesus in the garden. That was another simple act of faith. He didn't sit down and tell God everything. He told his disciples, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful." Then that's all he said. He didn't say, "I can't believe God is asking me to do this for these people, even some of you who are going to deny me." No, he just said, you guys pray. And the Bible says that he went, fell on his face and prayed. And then one translation said there appeared to be an angel strengthening him. But what did he pray? "Father, if you be willing, do this a different way. If not, your will, not my will." That's it. "Even though I don't want to go through this, I believe you'll bring me through it. So we're going to go with what you say, what you want to happen, and not what I want to happen." It's just a simple act of faith. And because of that, we don't have to go to hell. I mean, we can live this. We become children of the Most High God just because of a simple act of faith. When you walk up and you walk up to that stranger in the street and you lead him to the Lord, that simple act of faith that you can preach the gospel to every creature changes. You don't know how that's going to change a generation or generations of people. You don't know. Just like you plant one apple seed, you have the potential of an apple orchard from one seed. But if you don't sow it, that one seed dies and becomes nothing. God has told or given every one of us things, plural, to do. And we have to use the faith that he gave us to get it done. Knowing that we can act in faith, we can walk in faith, just like we can breathe. Jesus is the author. I didn't have time to look up and find out what the muscle reflexes and things are that cause us to breathe automatically without thinking about it. But I do know who provides the faith. It says Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. All we have to do is step out and do the job. Amen. I went a little over time. I apologize. Father, thank you for your word, the word that we've heard. And we thank you, Lord, that as you said, your word will not return to you void, but it will accomplish that which you set it out to accomplish, and it'll fulfill every purpose. You said the words that you speak unto us, those words are spirit and those words are life. So we thank you for the life that you've given us this evening through your word. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to start unfolding it to us so we know and understand exactly what it means. And we're going to start seeing ourselves walking through situations victoriously and not being stopped or held up or tripping over anything. We thank you, Father, for the confidence, the faith, and the love, and the trust that you've put into us as your children, and that no one can ever take us, snatch us out of your hand. Thank you, Lord, that as we learn more and more as to who we are, that knowledge will be demonstrated by the works that we do. And for that, we give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We walk by faith, not by sight, and it's simple. It's not hard. So let's stop talking ourselves into difficulties and just be like the centurion. Speak the word only. Stop looking for the miraculous. That's why he told Jesus, "No, you don't have to come over to my house. I'm not worthy." speak the word, my servant will be healed. That's it. He didn't say, wait 2 hours, I want to get there to see what's going to happen. He knew what was going to happen. The word was going to be spoken, and the servant is going to be healed, and I'm not getting wound up again, so I'm going to stop. Turn me off.